Come, all you prisoners of New South Wales who frequent watchhouses and jails. A story unto you I'll tell about a convict's tour of hell. Our hero's valor had been tried upon the highway before he died. At length he fell to death a prey, which proved to him a happy day. Downward he went, as I've been told, like one that's destined to Satan's fold, until he came to the river Styx, when Charon's gaze was on him fixed. "Friend," said he, "whence comest thou? Thy name and business I must trow." "Well, old craft, if you wish to know it, on earth they called me Frank, the poet." "Oh, well, 5 pence or 6 pence I daily charge for a light passage in my barge. But witty guest, I'd have you know it, I never intend to charge a poet." So with a fair wind and flowing tide, we wherried over to the other side, where leaving Charon at the ferry, I journeyed on to Purgatory. I boldly knocked at the gate of Limbo, or the middle state. Pope Pius the 7th soon appeared, with crown, cross, crucifix, and beard. "All hail," cried Pius. "But why this visit? It's never Frank the poet, is it?"
"Yes, and as for heaven, I am not fitted, I hope, in here to be admitted." Then said Pius,
"Vain are all your hopes, for this is a place for priests and popes. And as it's a crib of our own invention, we haven't got the least intention to admit such a foolish elf who scarce on earth could bless himself."
"Oh, well," said I, "I've no desire to enter this place of fire, where there's nothing but weeping, wailing, and gnashing, and torments of the newest fashion. And you must have been a foolish elf to make a rod to beat yourself. But may you and all your honest neighbors enjoy the fruits of all your labors." Thus bidding Pius a long farewell, I journeyed on to the place called Hell. I knocked at the gate. Then louder still, when out rushed the devil with "What's your will?" "Oh," said I, "I've come here to dwell and share my fate with you in hell." Cried Satan,
"That can't be, I'm sure, for I detest and hate the poor. None shall in my kingdom stand except the wealthy and the grand. So, Frank, I think you've gone astray, for convicts never come this way, but soar to heaven in droves and legions, a place so called in the upper regions."
"Oh, well, as I'm in no hurry, have you got here one Captain Murray?"
"Oh, yes, he is within this place. Would you like to see his face?"
"No, heaven forfend that I should view him. For on board the Phoenix Hulk, I knew him.
But who is that in yonder blaze on fire and brimstone seems to graze? He's Captain Logan of Barton Bay, and Williams, killed the other day, was overseer at Groves's farm, and did you convicts no small harm. Cook, who discovered New South Wales, and he who first invented jails, are both tied to a fiery stake that stands in yonder boiling lake. Hark! Hear you not that dreadful yelling? It comes from Dr. Wardell's dwelling. And yonder, see those fiery chairs? They're fitted up for beaks and mares, and men of all judicial orders, trapped bankers, lawyers, and recorders." Then Frank saw legions of traitors, hangmen, jailers, flagellators, commandants, constables, and spies, informers, overseers likewise. In flames of brimstone they were toiling, and licks of sulphur round them boiling. Then he beheld old Sergeant Flood. In Vulcan's hottest forge he stood, with fiery garments all arrayed, like wild Arabian ass he brayed. Loud he implored for Frank's assistance to end for him his sad existence. "Cheer up," said Frank, "don't be dismayed. Remember No. 3 stockade." He next beheld that noted trap man and police runner,
Israel Chapman. Steeped was he, standing to his head in cauldron hot of boiling lead. Alas, he cried, behold me, stranger. I've captured many a bold bushranger, for which I now am suffering here. But lo, now yonder snakes appear. Then Frank beheld some loathly worms, and snakes of varied shapes and forms, all entering at the mouth and ears, to gnaw his guts for endless years. The poet turned to go away, but Lucifer begged he would stay. Just as he spoke, a coach and four came up in post-haste to the door, and some 6 feet of mortal sin, sans leave or license, tumbled in. At its arrival, cheers were given that reached from hell to highest heaven, and all the denizens of hell with one rope pealed the greatest bell that e'er was known to sound or ring since Judas sold our heavenly king. Drums were beating, flags were hoisting, never before were such rejoicing, dancing, singing, joy and mirth in heaven above and on the earth. Straightway to Lucifer Frank went to learn what these rejoicings meant. Of sense, cried Satan, I'm deprived, since Governor Darling has arrived. Brimstone and fire I've ordered him, and Vulcan has his tools in trim, and I'll now find a fixed abode for Colonel Wilson's on the road. Don't go, Frank, till you see the novice, the colonel from the police office. Sir, answered Frank, I'm satisfied to learn that he is to be tied and tortured in this world of fire. With your leave, sir, I now retire. Then after travelling many days o'er fiery hills and boiling seas, at length he found that happy place where all the woes of mortal cease. And rapping boldly at the wicket, says Peter, show your certificate, or if you have got none to show, pray who in heaven do you know?
Why, sir, I know Jack Donahue and Johnny Troy and Jenkins, too, whose backs by scourgings have been mangled, and at last by Jack Ketch were strangled.
Peter, the son said,
let Frank in, for he is truly purged from sin. Although in convict costume dressed, here shall be a welcome guest. Enoch, go you with him to Job and put on him a silken robe. St. Paul, go to the flock straightway and kill a calf or two today. Tell Abraham and likewise Abel in haste to lay the banquet table. For we will make a grand repast since Frank the poet has come at last. Soon Moses came, likewise Elias, John Baptist, and his pal Matthias, with many saints from foreign lands, and with the poet all shook hands. Through heaven's concave, curfew rang, and hymns of praise they loudly sang, and while they glorified their theme, I woke and found it was a dream.